everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a feathery friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful cassowary. This is, of course, a very special listener episode dedicated to Chelsea, Matt, and Zoe. Thank you for taking the time to write in to request this amazing creature that I'm so excited to learn about with you. For those of you that would like to request your very own animal episode, I will talk about how you can do so at the end of the show, but that information is also immediately available in the description below. I will also cover all of the resources used at the end of the show, but they are also in the show notes. If you love the show and would like more of it for only a dollar a month, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. We just learned about the mechanism of camouflage, and I'm so excited to finish up this mini-series and continue on with all that has been requested thus far. I look forward to seeing you there. As always, I have three primary exhortations for you. The first is that you put on a good pair of running shoes or even hiking shoes. We are going to be needing those where we are going today. The second thing I ask of you is to realize perhaps where you are carrying some tension. It can help to just scan through the body bit by bit, by calf, then by leg, then by chest, then by shoulders. And one helpful thing to think about is Jell-O. Bring up your conception of Jell-O and just do your best to do your Oscar award-winning impression of it. Simply let it go. Become the Jell-O. And the third thing I ask is that you give your mind permission to wander and journey with me into an Australian rainforest where the cassowary resides. This may not be such a surprise anymore, but Australia is home to some of the most amazing creatures on the planet. They have so many unique native creatures that me, as a Canadian, I have to travel all this way just to get a peek. So as we are walking around this rainforest, let's just talk about what we are dealing with here. I have to say, personally, that the cassowary is one of the most physically bizarre or unique creatures I have seen. It has a physical appearance that is reminiscent to me of the shoebill stork, not exactly in terms of anatomy, but how both of them kind of look like dinosaurs to me. And so the cassowary is the largest native vertebrate in Australian rainforests. It is the third tallest bird in the entire world, just right behind the ostrich and the emu. It is the world's second heaviest bird, right behind the ostrich, and the egg of the cassowary is the third largest of all birds on Earth. So right off of the bat, we know we are dealing with a seriously cool creature. Now, because there are around three species of the cassowary, they each have, respectively, different Latin names. Those names are Casuarius casuarius, Casuarius unappendiculatus, Casuarius benedi. And so that name, Casuarius, is all the way through, and that is because that is the genus of the cassowary. So when I am using the word cassowary, I am using this to describe any of the several species of large flightless birds of the Australopapuan region. As we've just covered, there are three species, but some experts will count them as six species, but each of these have several races. There is the northern cassowary, the dwarf cassowary, and the southern cassowary, which is the one we are focusing on today. It is also known as the common cassowary, as it is the one mostly associated with the name. So this creature inhabits New Guinea, Australia, of course, and nearby islands. So while we are in an Australian rainforest today, we could have actually been elsewhere. Just for a mental picture, if you know what an emu looks like, you can picture an emu, except make it a little bit more like a dinosaur. It is decked out in dense, two-quilled black feathers that look like hair from far away. These dense feathers are not dense for flying, as they are a flightless bird, but they are extremely useful given their rainforest habitat. It helps keep them dry from the rain. It helps keep them safe from any thorny places in the bushes. And their feathers will generally be a jet black color. But while their coats of feathers may be simple, their skin colors are seriously unique and amazing. The colors on their face and neck will differ depending on the species and the location in which they are living. Female cassowaries are actually more brightly colored and are larger than the male cassowaries. All three of the cassowary species have something very unique that is called a helmet in layman's terms, but in the scientific world is called a casque. They will eventually develop this very thick layer of keratin, which, by the way, is the exact same material that is on our fingernails as human beings. And this casque plays the role of some interesting headgear. It is actually, at this point, uncertain as to why cassowaries have the casque in the first place. Of course, as far as its function is concerned, maybe it has something to do with the age of the bird. Maybe it is a helmet or shock absorber that protects the bird's head when they're going through bushes in the rainforest. And so we stumble upon another little bit of a mystery. Maybe one of you out there will go to research the cassowary and can update me in the future as to why you think they have this helmet. I personally don't find the whole dominance theory of why they have their casque convincing, given the fact that females are the ones that tend to have the larger headgear than males, and that males are the ones who compete for females. This would seem a bit strange. So maybe the female cassowaries use it to attract the male cassowaries. Maybe it is some indicator of health. Who knows at this point? So if you have not already Google image searched this thing, you can just imagine a dinosaur looking emu with a royal blue neck, shaggy black feathers, and this huge crest or casque on the top of their head. The cassowary, when they are still immature, is going to have brownish feathering, of course quite common in many other birds, and when they grow to be adults, they will grow to be about 1.5 meters or 5 feet tall. In addition to being around 5 feet tall, they can also jump around 7 feet or 2 meters straight into the air, and they are also great swimmers. What can't this bird do? Of course, the answer to that is fly, but it seems as if it can do many other things. And those casques that they have on the top of their head, they begin to develop when the birds are around 2 years old. So it is not something that is glaringly obvious very early on in their life, but will be a slow development. But it will develop to such a point that it is very conspicuous. And of course, it will go on to catch all of the attention. The cassowary is a crepuscular creature. We have just learned that word on a very recent episode of ours, and it means that they are most active at dawn and dusk, or twilight, and they search for food while they rest in a spot of sun during the daytime. This behavior makes them very difficult specimens to actually study and observe throughout their day. They are very quick to retreat into their homes in the rainforest, so there is not much known about their actual behaviors. And so as a recap, we have covered many creatures that are diurnal, which means they are awake mostly during the daytime to do their hunting and eating and things like that. Then we have creatures that are nocturnal, awake during the nighttime, doing their hunting at night, but sleeping during the day. And then we have creatures that are crepuscular, or awake mostly during dawn and dusk hours, also known as twilight. In addition to all of the things that make the cassowary a very unique creature, their kick also places them into that category. There are few creatures that can deliver the kind of force that the cassowary does with their feet. So as their physical appearance suggests, they are one of the most dangerous birds in the world. This is not because they are behaviorally aggressive or something. They just have a large potential to do damage when threatened. They are actually known as quite shy in the real world. But their feet have three toes, and they have a dagger-like claw on the innermost one that can be up to 4 inches or 10 centimeters long. That is a long claw. With a swift kick, it can cut open pretty much any predator or threat, and then flee with their powerful legs that will allow them to run up to 31 miles per hour or 50 kilometers per hour. This is a kickboxing dinosaur, and of course, when we are looking at them or coming into contact with them in the wild, we ought to respect these kickboxing dinosaurs. I'm sure that many in Australia are aware of certain warning signs that read, "Be cassowary," that is, be wary of the cassowary, and those signs are there for a reason. They can get pretty aggressive when they're threatened and strike back with those pecks, headbutts, and kicks. And not only are those kicks dangerous because of possible lacerations or cuts, the strength of the kick itself has been known to break bones entirely. And remember, they can jump nearly 7 feet or 2 meters into the air. They have to have some strong force going through those legs in order to make that happen. The cassowary is a frugivore that will eat the fruits of several hundred different rainforest plants. Now, we have covered carnivores and omnivores and herbivores, but I do not think we have ever encountered the word frugivore. A frugivore is an animal that will survive mostly on raw fruits or fruit-like produce of plants. That includes things like roots, shoots, seeds, and nuts. So frugivores are very dependent on fruits. Now, while today we are mostly focusing on the common or southern cassowary, it is worth mentioning their two friends. The northern or single wattled cassowary is the most recent that has been discovered. It is only found along the banks or rivers of New Guinea. Its throat skin and its wattle are either red or golden, depending on where they are found. Their casques or their crests on their head are also more flared and large. By the way, a wattle, because I don't think we have defined it, is a colored, fleshy lobe that hangs from the neck or head of domestic chickens and turkeys and, of course, cassowaries. It is hard to describe in other terms, and so a Google image search might be in order. So we have covered the southern or common cassowary. We just talked about the northern or single wattled cassowary. And the last of these three species is the dwarf cassowary. This is the only cassowary without that fleshy lobe or without that wattle. Instead of where that wattle would normally be, it has a purple spot that is round, in addition to bright pink spots on their cheeks. Their helmet or their casque is triangular and black and ends at the back of their head with a flat surface. Their shoulders are a red or violet color, their head and face black, and their neck is a deep blue. They live at the higher elevations in New Guinea, and it's amazing how these creatures can differ so much from one another. even though they already differ from the rest of the animal kingdom in so many ways. Cassowaries are mostly solitary. They have ill-defined home ranges in which they will roam around. If two males meet each other in one home range, they will engage in quite the exchange. They will fluff up their feathers and stretch to make themselves look bigger, and then they will rumble at one another until one decides to leave. If a male runs into a female outside of breeding season, it is common for her to make him run by stretching a little bit. That is because, as we have learned, the female cassowaries are larger. One amazing thing about the cassowary is their communication. So that casque or that crest on their head, among other hypothesized usages, it is said that it could also work something like a hornbill's casque, that is, that it can help the bird make sounds. The casque might help in the production of the booms that the cassowary makes, basically a low or very low frequency sound. It is such a low frequency that we cannot, as humans, actually hear, but some say that you can hear it almost in your bones or in your chest. You can feel that powerful rumble that is coming out of the cassowary. They will communicate non-verbally by swelling their neck and their throat, by high-stepping, and by shaking their head in order to attract a mate. Breeding season for the cassowary is between June and October, and the male will perform some kind of ritual in which he struts in a circle and lets out a series of low booms. After the eggs have been laid, it is the male that will sit on the nest to incubate them, and he will incubate them for up to 60 days. Once the chicks that are brown and tan striped hatch, he will protect them and teach them the ways of the cassowary and lead them into the place where he regularly eats. The younger cassowaries can stay with their fathers up to 16 months of age, but usually at around 9 or 10 months will be the time for them to spread their wings and walk away. In fact, the male cassowary is known to chase away their young around these points as they prepare to have more baby cassowaries. In terms of lifespan, they can live for decades. It is worth mentioning, however, that this is not necessarily for wild cassowaries. This is because we simply do not know how long wild cassowaries live. Given that they are crepuscular animals and are awake during certain times of the day and retreat into the forests, tracking individuals can be quite a challenge, and it hasn't been done yet. But there are a few southern cassowaries that have reached their 40th birthdays in captivity. One northern cassowary reached the age of 48, and another may have been as old as 61 in a zoo. The average lifespan for captive dwarf cassowaries, however, are on the shorter side at about 26 years. Generally, animals in captivity will live a little bit longer than in the wild. This is due to access to food and medicine and all of those other things. And so perhaps in the future we will have a better idea. And now let us move on to the name of the creature. What does it mean, or where does it come from? This word is used to describe a large flightless bird of Australia and Papua New Guinea. It was first used in around the 1610s and came from French or Dutch. And that came from the Malay word kasuari. The language family here listed is Austronesian. And so the word cassowary is simply an anglicized version of the original Malay word. And the charity for this episode is the Cassowary Recovery Team. So they are on rainforestrescue.org. And this group is a group of organizations that work together to implement the recovery plan for the southern cassowary in particular and protect cassowaries in the whole. This means protecting their habitats, their corridors from threats, the means by which is planning better, by monitoring, and with community involvement. And so there are many ways to help, one of which is donating on their website, rainforestrescue.org. They do great work as regards the cassowary, and so if you want to help the cassowary, that is a great resource. And now let us move on to the review of the show. This review was written by Chelsea May, who wrote all the way from Australia. Would you look at that? Today, it's actually not all the way from Australia, because that is where we are today. But Chelsea from Australia writes, "Recently discovered this podcast, and I am obsessed. I often struggle to get to sleep due to insomnia. It's nice to be able to drift in and out of consciousness whilst still picking up facts here and there. Love the show, and I've been recommending it to everyone in my life, Thank you, Chelsea, for such a wonderful review. I'm so glad that you discovered the podcast in the first place and that you're now a part of it. I'm also grateful that the show can help you in your sleep and that you're even recommending it to others to come join us on our treks and our dives. Welcome, welcome, Chasey. We're all very happy that you are a listener of the show. If you like the show, taking a couple of minutes to leave a review is a huge way to give back. In that short amount of time, you help the show grow. You help more people like Chelsea find the show. You help the show get better through telling me what you like and maybe what you don't like. I just encourage it all around. Also sharing and liking and doing all of those things. If you would like to request an animal and get your very own animal episode, you can do so by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and clicking on the animal request tab. If you wish to get in contact with me in any other way, you can do so by sending an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. or by going to the Instagram Relax with Animal Facts and sending a message there. For those of you that are not following the Instagram, I greatly encourage you to do so. There are always updates and quizzes and things periodically there, giveaways, for example, so that is a great place to be. And again, if you would like more of the show for only $1 a month, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. All of the resources used in this episode came from animals.sandiegozoo.org, britannica.com, queensland.com, mentalfloss.com, and rainforestrescue.org. Of course, in addition to etimonline.com. All of those resources are in the show notes or the description for your exploration. This episode wouldn't have been possible with all of their contributions to the Animal Facts world. What an amazing creature we have covered today. It is so cool that there is something like a living dinosaur walking around among us, and it is not surprising that this creature is walking in Australia. I feel like I have to make a shirt or something that just says, "Of course it's Australia." With some of these creatures, I don't even have to look at where they are from, but I can just guess. Thank you all for taking the time to join me on this episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, and I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.